had enough of the nasty political brawling that has taken over our public conversations? Would you prefer honest but respectful discussions that focus on understanding the views of various community leaders?
Hello, and welcome to On the Other Hand, a podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders in Arkansas. I'm your host, Glenn White, along with my co-host, April Chatham Carpenter. Our goal is to serve as a venue for honest but civil conversations about a variety of topics with community leaders of diverse perspectives. In this first episode of On the Other Hand, April and I will give you a sense of our goals for the podcast, and we'll tell you something about political polarization and how the Braver Angels organization, both nationally and here in Arkansas, is working to reduce political polarization. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization, to help people discover common ground, and to promote a more respectful and productive exchange of perspectives among participants in our democracy. Here at On the Other Hand, we believe that progress in our community and country happens when we listen respectfully to each other and are willing to work in good faith with persons of differing political views. We seek to promote problem solving through collaboration and compromise so that we can all have hope of a more functional government. So join us today and for future episodes as we explore how active participants in our community are reaching across divisions to make a difference. The title of the program, On the Other Hand, that reflects our desire to provide a variety of voices on these issues. A key importance for us is our desire to help reduce extreme political polarization in our community and to model a civil and honest approach to our discussions.
You know, Glenn, little did I know when I met you in 2019 that we'd be doing such a program together. At the time, I really wasn't interested in talking about politics. It had become so divisive, and I hate conflict. I knew also that people might not like what I had to say if they really knew what I thought.
Yeah, I agree, April, and I'm a little surprised at what we're doing too. But I know what you mean about the struggles you have with the conflict. I've had my own struggles dealing with family and friends who think differently than me on politics. But you know, that's what actually motivated me to explore the whole idea behind political polarization. Now, I'm a psychologist, and as a psychologist, I'm kind of used to checking out the social sciences literature when I have questions come up and I want to understand it better. So that's what I did. I went and looked at the literature. One thing that did is it led me to realize just how incredibly complex this whole political polarization thing is, much more than most people realize. Oh, you know what? By the way, this might be a good time for us to point out that you and I have somewhat different political views ourselves. So, in doing that, in exploring our differences, hopefully we're going to provide a good model of how we can have conversations like this with civility and openness.
You know, that's right, Glenn. I think about when you first, when I first met you, and you came into my office, actually a cold call at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, wanted to know if I'd be interested in this organization I'd never heard of called Better Angels. And you specifically were asking me a little bit about my own political background, which I'm very hesitant to share with most people until I get to know them, because I come from a more conservative background and belief system. And that sometimes can be seen as being a negative thing, especially in an educational institution. And, you know, I really needed to be in a place where I knew I could really feel heard, but I could also hear the thoughts of other people. And you provided that for me by introducing me to this organization we're going to talk about as one of the sponsors. And I didn't know anything about it, but I found out that their work was very consistent with my own desire and my department's mission, which is to co-create better social worlds with others through positive communication.
Yeah, that fits very well too. You know, when we first met, when I made that cold call, I didn't really know you were a communication professor. I was actually trying to reach a person in, I believe, the political sciences department that I'd emailed a couple of times about collaborating with a project he was working on. And I hadn't heard from him in a while. So I just decided one day I was just going to go by and see if I could find him. And it turns out he had already left town going to get another job somewhere else in the country. And I just didn't know that. But fortunately, who did I run into but you? And that has worked out really well, I'd say.
Indeed, it has. I feel like the rest is history. I got so involved. I've gotten so involved now with this organization that is now called Braver Angels. That's really changed my life and even changed some of the things that I do in my own teaching. I teach conflict management classes and even taught a class called Listening and Civil Dialogue last fall that brought in a lot of the things that we hope to bring in our program in terms of speaking and listening skills that help us be able to talk to people across our differences. You know, we both sounds like came to this sort of work through our professions and our passion for making our relationships and communities better. So I think it would be helpful to go ahead and share with our listeners what our vision is for the program.
Yeah, and I will. But, you know, I will kind of back up and say one thing about my profession in psychology. A lot of the things from Braver Angels and the person who actually designs the workshops, Bill Doherty, is a family therapist. And so there are a lot of communication techniques and principles that are used that, you know, you are familiar with. And I was familiar with some of the things he was doing because as a psychologist, doing things like marriage therapy, parenting, and that sort of thing, you find that some of these things we're used to doing in our field in psychology, we just never had applied them to politics. And it turns out to be a pretty good match. Anyway, so the overview of what we're trying to do with On the Other Hand is we want to provide a voice for members of our community. We want to make sure we get a wide representation of views, a good diversity of viewpoints on different topics. One of the things that's going to be really important, because this is part of the Braver Angels approach, we ask that all the guests that we interview maintain a civil, respectful manner as we're talking, and we're certainly going to do our best to try to model that ourselves. When we need to, hopefully that doesn't come up, but if we needed to, we would try to gently redirect any conversations if someone starts getting a little bit too much into vitriol, personal attacks, hostility, that kind of thing. So that's generally what we're trying to do, and hopefully this will be a long-running series of programs and will give us a chance to speak with various community leaders and just explore in some detail in a place where people feel like they can share their views without being kind of attacked for it.
Glenn, I know when you and I have talked about kind of your vision for this program, which I'm coming alongside of and excited about, one of the things that you've talked about is that, you know, there are other programs, there are other podcasts and radio programs that are out there, but you specifically wanted something in Arkansas so that we could bring in people that have differing perspectives and that would be interesting to Arkansans. So are you, what kind of guests are you thinking about having on the show?
Well, I think we'll want to start because this is sponsored by Braver Angels, and a lot of what we do, we're orienting around that general philosophy. I think we'll start with some people who are leaders in our local Braver Angels Alliance, we call it. And beyond that, I'm open to all sorts of possibilities, and I know you are too. In fact, near the end of the program, we'll mention an email address where people can send in their ideas and suggestions. So I would encourage you to email us if you have ideas of who might want to talk about a particular topic, and we can have that to choose from. But I would think it could be community leaders, activists in different areas. It could be politicians and government officials. To me, we're casting a wide net on purpose because we want so many different viewpoints. We want them all to be represented.
I know that because we represent different political, even places on the political spectrum, you and me, Glenn, that we are very concerned that we represent a variety of different and diverse points of view. And oftentimes we'll have people on the program, I think, that might actually be on opposite sides or have a different perspective on how things could be looked at in the political realm and policy issues. One of the reasons why we're excited about starting out with some folks that actually are connected with our Braver Angels organization is because they do represent that that kind of political diversity. So I'm interested more about why you think it's important to hear multiple sides when we're looking at this whole issue of polarization.
Well, you know, we know that extreme polarization is a big problem. It's a very serious problem in America, but we have indications from around the world how much of a problem it is, including in ways that it corrodes democratic institutions and traditions. And one of the things that comes with polarization is when people get into bubbles where they only talk to people that believe the way they do. So that is a real problem. And we think that one of the ways to combat polarization is to make sure that people hear a variety of viewpoints, but also that they do that in a way that is civil, respectful, and yet still honest and open.
That's a concern I know for both of us, that we really are trying to resist that tendency that's so easy to go into towards vilifying the other side or attacking people rather than analyzing ideas. I know that we also are trying to resist, and we will try to resist gotcha questions or comments from us as hosts that might make the guests feel like we're trying to catch them in something. And we're really hoping that people can find this to be a zone in which we can actually model what it's like to have difficult dialogues, and even model what it's like when we feel like we are feeling like we're getting a little anxious or upset about something that someone said, so that we can slow down and be mindful about hearing their perspectives and hearing their stories. So we're going to try, I think, Glenn, you and I, to avoid taking specific positions on our particular, our belief system, although people might see some of that come out. And I think that would be helpful for them to even see how we talk through our differences. But, you know, in terms of positions, we're also going to try to avoid taking specific positions on any political candidates, yet try to openly discuss ideas and policy options from a variety of viewpoints. I know, Glenn, I'm going to try to provide a perspective drawn from my own study of communication concepts and techniques. And I think you're likely to contribute information from social and psychological research into maybe how political beliefs develop, as well as how change can be facilitated. We've talked a little bit about what this would look like overall. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share for the listeners as they anticipate our program goals?
Well, yeah, as you said, I will be relying heavily upon the research I've done, looking into what people have to say, what science has found out about political beliefs and polarization and ways to combat it. Now, we can talk about all the things that contribute to polarization, and that's kind of a revealing kind of discussion to have. But at the end of the day, in my field, I've always learned that you focus on what is the positive alternative. What are the when you have a problem, okay, focus not on the problem, but on what should be done instead that's much better. So one of the things that I think I'll be drawing from is what I have learned in the social sciences literature about ways to decrease polarization. I'll give you an example. Listening. And you know, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? But it's so important to listen in a certain way in order to reduce emotions and polarization. You want to make a conscious effort to listen calmly and really try to listen to understand, as Stephen Covey mentioned, what it is the person is saying and where they're coming from and how that, you know, is their worldview. So you just focus first on listening and maybe using some reflective listening communication techniques to make sure you understand where they're coming from. Then there's a time to express your own views. And we try to do that where we take responsibility for our own views and beliefs and not try to pose our views as superior and that the other side is misguided. That may very well be, but we're not going to say that, because, you know, when you get into any kind of hostile confrontation, what does it cause any of us to do? We dig in our heels. And that that'll set back the entire process of what we're trying to accomplish. And it almost never helps anybody change their mind when someone attacks them. So we're going to have a central goal of trying to facilitate these civil, reasoned, but honest discussions using these approaches. And that'll be informed. And we'll get into more details about that in subsequent programs, I believe, April.
That makes sense to me. And of course, listening is so close to my heart because of my own discipline. In fact, I have a book on my desk right now that I'm looking at that's called The Sacred Art of Listening, which has been an interesting read for me to try to cultivate listening almost even as a spiritual practice. That's a whole nother topic, but we could get into sometime. But I think about listening, I think about asking for people to tell their stories also, because that's one of the things that I've learned from you as I've listened to your different perspectives than mine, and in hearing about the stories that you might tell about what has led to specific positions that you might hold, as opposed to just hearing the positions and thinking, oh, how could he even think that? I remember a conversation early on, even from someone from my own side in Braver Angels, and we'll talk more about Braver Angels and what that is in a bit. But I remember thinking, how could she have that perspective? And then I asked her, so tell me what it took for you to come to that perspective, or tell me your story, your journey to get to that perspective. And as I listened to the story, all of a sudden, it's like my heart was open to her. Even though she had a different perspective on things, even as someone from my own political part, you know, place on the spectrum. And it was beautiful to be able to see how she came to where she was. And then I was able to share how I came to where I was. And we found common ground, even within our own political side, that led us to be able to communicate better. And so I think about the political divide, it's really a spectrum, and people don't fall clearly into the reds and blues. The media actually seems to indicate that in the way that it describes us as being more far to the right or far to the left. But there's so many of us that cross over that political divide, that find ourselves in positions where we may be liberal on some things and conservative on others. And I think that's interesting that as we start thinking about the complexities even of our own perspectives. So
It's like we're all various shades of purple, I think is what you're getting at. And I think that's true. There are some folks who have fairly extreme, rigid views. This program will probably not appeal to those people, but I think they're a bit of a minority. Most people, whether they're on the red or the blue side, tend to be complicated people and not these stereotyped caricatures that we hear described either in the media or from people on the other side. One of the problems with polarization is how much people get into this distorted view of people on the other side. They start to dehumanize them and stereotype them as having really bad qualities. You know, like they say, oh, well, for you to espouse that belief, you must be racist, or you must be ignorant or uninformed, or you must be a communist or whatever it is. And the reality is rarely the case that those stereotypes are accurate. It's usually something much more complicated, which is why telling your stories about what got you here is so helpful. It humanizes that person. And as you said, it kind of softens things up for people with different views to start to understand where they're coming from. They may not change their beliefs, and that's okay. So, I think at this point, we probably ought to talk a little bit about the sponsors of our program. You want to do that?
Sure. The sponsor of our program is Braver Angels, Arkansas.
Braver Angels is actually a national nonprofit organization. I actually compare it to more like a social movement than a traditional nonprofit organization, because it's attempting to get people at the grassroots level to actually bridge the political divide one relationship at a time. And, you know, it started actually with just a group of people in 2016 after the presidential election, and a group of Trump and Clinton supporters. They got together for a two-day workshop, and the goal was really just to talk about their differences, see if they could establish some understanding of each other, maybe find some common ground. But that workshop came to be known as the Red Blue Workshop. It's now one of the key founding workshops that Braver Angels has as part of its offerings, and that it sponsors. And there's many, many workshops now that actually they have created and offer both nationally and at the local and statewide level. They operate really through a grassroots network of local and statewide chapters. They call those alliances. We have one in Central Arkansas that kind of serves as a statewide alliance. But when I was looking most recently, there's now approximately 10,000 dues-paying members of Braver Angels. It only costs $12 a year to be a member. And during last year alone, when COVID happened, we started looking at how many events we could offer when pivoting to be Zoom-based events. And we hosted last year 443 unique events that involved nearly 6,000 participants. And those events varied from workshops to debates to book clubs to film discussions. And of course, it was through that organization that we met. Glenn, you wanted to know if I knew of the organization, which was called Better Angels at the time. So, Glenn, I think it might be helpful for folks to see how maybe Braver Angels has made a difference in our own personal lives or the lives of those around us. Do you have a story you can share with the listeners?
Oh, sure. I have a really good story from someone I know. We attend the same church, and she approached me recently to tell me a story that she was excited about. She is on the blue side like I am, and she has family who live elsewhere in the country, and they had recently had some sort of family gathering where they were all together. And so these family members were people she had fond memories of, hadn't seen them in a while, but they'd always gotten along and had a similar view of the world. And when she got together with them this time, something had changed. They were very different in their political views, and she was at first just shocked to hear that. And so she wanted to ask them, what's going on? Why do you believe this way? That used to not be the case. Now, the first thing they did was basically say, no, we don't need to have this conversation because you're probably not going to hear us. You're not going to be willing to listen. Now, at that point, most people, it would have either gotten more hostile or they would have just decided, let's not talk about this sort of thing. But this woman had attended one of our workshops. It's called the Skills for Bridging the Divide. And that's where we teach people some of these communication skills and techniques to engage in difficult conversations while keeping them, you know, kind of above board and, you know, not going off too much on the deep end. So based on those skills that she remembered, she persisted in using those skills to try to have a conversation, and they wound up having a pretty long conversation. She learned some things from them about concerns that they had in their state where some laws and policies were happening that they were very distressed by and didn't seem right to them. As they explained that to her, she said, well, okay, I get that. I see why you'd have some problems with that. And then she shared some of her concerns about some things happening in Arkansas. So in the end, I guess the bottom line here was that because of her using those skills, they were able to have this conversation, and they ended, even though they continued to have differing views in a lot of ways, they did come to some common ground. Their common ground was basically that they believe one of the biggest problems right now with our politics is politicians and government officials who worry more about their own power or the party that they're part of winning out rather than what's good for the citizens at large. So that was a really encouraging story for me to hear. It let me know that the work we do in Braver Angels, teaching skills and having these workshops, can make a difference.
You know, Glenn, we've heard lots of these kinds of stories. I have a similar kind of experience when I taught the class that I developed and now is going into our curriculum called Listening and Civil Dialogue. And I taught that last fall. And I oftentimes would pull in some of the Braver Angels principles to teach my students how to have difficult dialogues with people. At the end of the semester, I asked them to kind of gauge their own growth. Because I connected them with, or I required them to do several one-to-one conversations with people that have different views than them. And I heard from several different students, and I remember one of them that really spoke to me. So I thought I would share about her experience. And this is actually quoted directly from her. So this is her word. She says, I had little hope of communicating with those of differing views than me, especially regarding controversial and political topics. I tended to listen to others' perspectives and then not share my viewpoints. And she says, by doing this, I was not building skills in conflict resilience, as I was generally just keeping quiet and avoiding conflict. Boy, I could really relate to that, because that tends to be what I do personally. And then she goes on to says, additionally, I was deferring potential connections with others by doing that. So now I've taken, because of these principles, I've taken a couple more risk of sharing my views with others while realizing there might be a conflict. For example, she says, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke with a friend who usually shares his perspective on controversial topics and assumes that he knows what my perspective is. I typically don't talk about what I think, though. He asked me what I had been learning, and I mentioned that I was learning about civil dialogue, and so he wanted me to share an example. So I mentioned that I had been learning about how to ask about other people's journeys, and he proceeded to ask me about my journey on a specific topic, so I told him. It's his reaction, she says, that really surprised me. I was expecting him to start telling me why I was wrong, but what he said was, you know, you shared some really good points. I'm going to have to look into some of the things that you mentioned. And I didn't expect that response. And because of that, I'm now more willing to actually share my own thoughts with other people. This particular student was a conservative student, and so was concerned about some of the perceptions of her views and how she would be seen by a person that was more liberal. So, you know, Glenn, we've got about 3 minutes left here in our program. So I thought it might be helpful for maybe you and I both to share something more personal in terms of how we've seen this make a difference. And so I can start with that, or would you like to start? You want me to? Okay. Yeah. Sure. So when I think about this, I think about oftentimes for me, my conversations tend to happen with people. I tend to be a chameleon. Okay. So this is something I have to work on in my own conversations. What I mean by a chameleon is that I can blend in with whatever another person group is saying. And sometimes it appears to them that I believe something that maybe I don't, because I just blend in. And what I'm really trying to do is listen to them and empathize. But there are times in which I realize I need to speak up about my perceptions. And so I have to do things like, use something called I messages when I'm actually saying, well, I know that there are many perspectives on this, but would you have a chance? Would you be willing for me to tell you a little different perspective based on my experiences? So I kind of ask permission to be able to share that. In Braver Angels, we call that pivoting into kind of another different perspective. And then, you know, I'm careful to just tell my perspectives and not try to say that they're wrong. And that's, you know, another thing that I do. But a lot of times what I do in these kinds of situations is oftentimes I want to hear their story. And then, you know, there's kind of this norm of reciprocity. If I hear their story, then oftentimes they'll ask for my story as well. What about you, Glenn?
Well, yeah, thanks. It is an ongoing process, I would say, in learning to use these principles. And that has been my experience, even though in some ways I'm trained as a professional in this, it really is something that requires conscious effort on your part repeatedly to follow the guidelines that make for civil conversations rather than go with your instinct, because your instinct is usually ruled by emotion. And one of the things I learned from the research I did is how much emotions are involved in formulating beliefs and in digging in our heels. So it's helped me to learn better how to lower the emotional temperature of conversations that might be difficult. There's another thing that I'll comment too, and this may or may not be helpful, but it's social media. I noticed when I started trying to practice what I preach from Braver Angels, my social media presence really changed. I became a little more civil and more even-handed. And one of the downsides of that is you don't get as much engagement from other people. That's one of the problems we can get into in a future session about social media and its impact. But that's one of the things I noticed is it will change how things go for you on social media.
We hope you enjoyed this first episode of On the Other Hand, as we have explored our goals for the podcast and the efforts by Braver Angels to bring the country back into conversation. Be sure to check out future episodes of our conversation and other interviews on the Braver Angels Arkansas website at arkansas.braverangels.org and go to the podcast page from that website. As always, we welcome feedback from our listeners on what you like about our program. Suggestions for improvement are welcome, and we love to hear ideas that you might have for speakers or topics. Whatever you want to share, that's fine. Just email us at otherhandar@gmail.com. That's no spaces in that, otherhandar@gmail.com. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor. From your host, Glenn White, and April Chatham Carpenter, have a good evening, and let's keep the conversation going as we work to bring our community closer together.